go over what you're hoping to get out of the two-day rookie minicamp, Coach?
Yeah, it was good to get the guys in here beginning last night a little bit. You know, want to come in, it's really on two different levels. The first level being the drafted players, starting to understand our schemes, our systems, our program, and how we do things in all areas of our building in terms of the process. And then for some of the priority free agent guys we signed after the draft, and in particular the guys that are on the tryout on a trial basis through the weekend, is really it's an opportunity for them to put their best foot forward and show us what they can do, albeit in a small window of time.
How many quarterback arms have you seen as good as Josh Allen's? Just to roll out the broad strength.
Yeah, I mean, Josh has a strong arm. I think we all know that. You know, I've been around the league long enough to know that it's one of the stronger arms. I'm not going to compare it to some of the guys I've been around. He's got a talented arm. So within that, there's other areas that are just as important, though, to arm strength. And that's where, you know, we have a lot of work to do. And the great part about Josh is he came in with a great mindset. He's embraced that growth mindset of getting better every day. And that's what we're looking forward to in the future.
You seen a stronger one?
I'm sorry?
Have you seen a stronger arm?
I mean, look, there's a lot of quality quarterbacks over the course of history in this league. And, you know, I know one for sure. You know, you've got a Broncos hat on or whatever it is you're sporting over there. but, yeah, so there's a lot of quality quarterbacks that have had strong arms in the league over the years. You know, I'm sure you can name a few just off the top of your head.
How much are you feeding these guys as far as scheme do they get to use in this setting? How much do you expose them to with such a short amount of time?
Yeah, we keep it fairly simple just so they can come out. And that's, again, for two reasons. So they can come out, get acclimated to what we're doing, but also so that we can evaluate them playing at top speed through the weekend here, to inundate them with a lot of scheme, a lot of volume, Vic, wouldn't be, you know, in their best interest, and because of that, in our best interest from an evaluation standpoint.
Sean, now that you've had a few chances to talk to Tremaine, what strikes you about someone who just turned 20 and where he's at a maturity level as for a guy being so young?
Well, first of all, he comes from a great family. You know, that was evident fairly early in our process. Our scouts, Brandon and his staff, did a great job, as you've heard me say before, with the process involved in getting to know not only Tremaine but a lot of the other drafted players. When Tremaine visited the day after the draft there with his family, it was, you know, pretty clear early on that what he comes from and what his roots are, really. So his maturity level at a young age, you know, I would go back and credit where he comes from and his support system, really. So we all saw his brother was drafted as well there. So, you know, it's a little bit unique, but my hat really goes off to his parents and his family and his support system.
Hey, Sean, at this point, in this very early point with these rookies coming in, and we've heard Teron could be a nickel guy, or Tremaine could be outside, inside, whatever. Are you even concerned yourself right now of where these guys might ultimately end up, or are you just trying to get them ingrained into the NFL and just get here and get to work? What's your philosophy?
Yeah, a little bit of both. I mean, we do start that process, Sal. What we try and do really is introduce them more than anything to, okay, day one in the NFL. You know, they all went through and the process of getting drafted, which is great, and life as a big fish in a small pond in college, and now it's, hey, welcome to the NFL. Here's where the training room is. Here's where the locker room is, and really just, you know, there's a part that is on the field, but there's also a part that is off the field in terms of here's where you find these resources to help you be the best version of yourself. That's what we do in our building. I'm not sure what people do in their buildings as much, but I know what and how we approach it in our building.
John, during your career, have you ever had a guy that was undrafted? to show up at a rookie mini camp and you look at him and go, is there an example where you looked at a guy and went, how did we miss, how did this guy not get drafted?
Yeah, that's really what we look for. That's what, it's what we're looking for this weekend is who slipped through the cracks and maybe for what reason in terms of whether it's athletic ability or intelligence. That's an overlooked area as well. It's important to have athletes, but we also look for the football IQ that goes along with the athleticism and whatnot. So, yeah, that's what we're looking for. You find those from time to time. Our scouting staff, I believe, does a great job. And so we've got a number of guys that we're going to take a hard look at this weekend with that in mind.
Is there a guy in particular in the past that you remember thinking, wow, you know, is there a name?
Well, you know, I've been around some undrafted, a number of undrafted players. There's some on our roster. You know, I wasn't maybe around them early on in their process, but, you know, I remember Quentin Michael, a safety that played for us in Philadelphia, out of Boise State. I believe they're the Broncos. So you know, he went on to become an All-Pro, and really credit to the way he approached his job. And you know, you noticed early on what traits he had from a football standpoint. So just to name one.
What is fair this weekend as far as evaluating Josh, especially from us, really, when we're out of practice versus the teaching aspect of what those are?
What's fair for you in evaluating?
Well,
I'll just speak on what we look at. I'm not going to get into what's fair for you guys. That's your area. You know, similar to the rest of the players, I'm looking for Josh and the other players to come out and get a feel and a comfort level for how we do things in our program, not only on the field but off the field as well, and what it means to be a Buffalo Bill and the standard that we've and our players have created over the last year and really acclimate himself and themselves to that standard as quickly as they can.
So point being, if he misses in the past today is inaccurate or something, how much of that are you weighing on your mind versus just being a learning stage you can't bring?
Oh, the whole, yeah. Listen, we embrace, you've heard me say before, and whether it's Josh or anyone else on our roster or this weekend, is we embrace that growth mindset. And we believe in learning on the job. And so there's going to be, if you take that approach of continual improvement, it's been shown over the years that you'll end up where you're trying to end up, or at least closer to where you're trying to end up in terms of your goals. Anyone coming in here this weekend and that includes me, you know, we are not where we need to be. And you can say the same thing for our roster of guys right now as well. So there's a big gap between where we are and where we're trying to go, and that's why we stress so much the process around here and what goes into where we're trying to get to.
I know it's early, Sean, but last year, I mean, Leslie talked about you know, he noticed and you noticed that Tre'Davious White was ready to be a starter in this league. Come May, early June. How eager are you to see what Tremaine can do on the field in these next 3-4 weeks to gain a spot in that linebacker group?
Yeah, you know, listen, there's a lot, again, that, you know, that has to happen before he puts himself in that position. The number one thing I would say is he's got to earn it. And that goes for everyone on our roster. And this is a place where we earn things, and spots are earned. And you'll see him out there today commanding the huddle. And that's a big part of the evaluation. A guy that is a signal caller can come in, have great command of the huddle on the defensive side, in this case for Tremaine, and then execute at a high level. So, you know, there's a lot of work to do between now and the time when we name starters. So... but Tremaine's another young man that I believe respects what it takes to start at a level like this, and in particular for the Buffalo Bills.
How much of his dad's influence do you see in the role?
Well, you know, Austin and I, and you guys know, Brandon and I both were around Austin and had a chance to be around his family as well in Carolina. You know, there's a lot of Ricky's influence, just like there would be, I would hope, and on my children and my family. That said, he's got a strong supporting cast with his wife and his extended family as well. Ricky does, and you know, Rawson just comes from a great, well-rounded family that has a great balance of life and faith and support. You see that in Austin. He's a well-rounded young man and has had success in his career in part because of the family that he comes from.
Sean, when you talk about all the players adjusting and evaluation comes in each one of them, the reality is there's more scrutiny on the quarterback. Do you feel a need to say anything to Josh about keeping blinders on at a certain point now that he's going to adjust to the pro game, to the point about, you know, Sam Darnold got, you know, he fumbled his first snap and everything that happens at a rookie minicamp? Do you feel the need to say anything to Josh about any of that?
You know, listen, I mean, I think Josh is a fairly well-grounded young man, and you guys will get to know him if you haven't already. That said, yes, for all of our players, there is a grooming process that takes place, right? It is a scrutinized position because it is a critical position around what we all have become or are known as it's a quarterback-driven league. So, but, you know, we've got a plan in place for all of our players, in this case Josh, and in terms of bringing them along at the right pace, creating a great base, a great foundation, so that as they move forward in their career, you know, we don't get into a situation where, you know, you can't go back and reestablish that base, you know, 2-3 years from now. We've got to do it now. And that not only speaks to what happens on the field, but off the field as well.
What are you expecting from him? I mean, you talked about Tremaine on the other side of the ball commanding the huddle. What are you expecting from Josh right away here?
Yeah, similar. You know, we just went through a little bit of a walkthrough, you know, it's just really coming out, being able to get the verbiage and the terminology down early on and command the huddle, albeit he's working with a different set of players in some regards through the weekend. But just to get a nice grasp on what we're doing and really what leads us to snapping the ball, because we talk a lot around here about unforced errors and before you win, you got to prevent yourself from losing, and that falls a lot on the quarterback position.
How much of a voice or influence did Coach Dable have in identifying Robert Foster as a priority free agent?
Yeah, Dave's had a big influence in that, as well as our scouting department. You know, the communication that ensued with between Dave's and our scouting department, Joe Shane and his staff as well. You know, you don't find that all the time because sometimes there is a line, and for us, you know, our staffs have worked extremely well together, Brandon's staff, my staff, and so the firsthand knowledge that Brian had with Foster, you know, meant a lot in the process, and we're excited to have him in camp here.
Sean, what do you think Dan Morgan is going to bring to the organization?
Well, I love the fact, you know, just his upbringing and how he was raised and his mindset, the way he played the game. He's very well thought of in the place that I just came from in Carolina. They still have, you know, some pictures of him on the wall, and that's for, you know, the obvious reasons, because he played the game a certain way. He handled his business off the field a certain way, and the mark he left on that organization, I would hope he would leave just as big, if not a bigger mark on our organization here, and I believe he will. It's, you know, there's a lot of things that are highly valued in this business, and being able to evaluate talent is one of them, and he's done that over the course of his career. So, you know, we look forward to having him and his family here for a long time.
What made Levi Wallace able to go from being a walk-on at Alabama to getting into that starting lineup in that secondary?
Oh, man, you know, his story, I don't know how many of you are aware of his story and where he came from and really how he made his mark on the Alabama program and on campus there. I mean, you know, shortly after the draft, and I got to be honest, I didn't know his full story like I do now. And I, was doing some of my own research. Derek and his staff do a great job of providing me with some background on some of these guys that doesn't immediately come to the surface, and his story is remarkable. You know, really a guy that has earned everything he's got, and I believe it was a walk-on the first 2 years at Alabama. That's not a place where you would associate, you know, walk-ons having a lot of success, and you know, he obviously did, and you know, to meet him and to read about his story, you know, we'll see what this weekend and how he handles himself. But you know, that's a great if you want to write about anything, that's a great story to sink your teeth into over the weekend here.